Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. What would it look like to have a community where the vulnerable are flourishing? Today, I'm excited to introduce to you Chris Chandler, who is helping to develop healthy communities in Kansas City. Chris is the director of The Gathering, which is operated by a nonprofit called The Hope Center, a place that's redefining what community really means. Chris has a master's in divinity, has a gift for simplifying complex ideas and teaching them in a way that is accessible to everyone. Chris has a heart to match his communication skills. Not to mention, the man has some serious talent as a drummer. Welcome to the podcast, Chris Chandler.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And the drummer thing, wasn't even expecting it. Wow, look at that.
You know, I think every good drummer needs to be recognized because I feel like there are so many poor drummers. And when you get to perform with a good drummer, it's like, mwah. Yeah. So.
One time I was out and about in Lee's Summit, where I used to work, and instead of someone recognizing me as a pastor, they were like, hey, are you that drummer for that one church? And I was like, yes, I am. Forget my professional titles. I'm the volunteer drummer. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So, Chris, we're going to jump in so that people can get to know you and what you're doing here in Kansas City. Can you tell us a little bit about the Hope Center, its mission, and also the Gathering KC?
Yeah, so the Hope Center is a 25-year-old nonprofit here on the east side of Kansas City, and we do youth, family, and community development. And so it looks like after-school programs for K through 12th grade. We have family development opportunities, and then we have tangible community work that we've been doing. And the building we're sitting in is one of those examples. So this was a multi-year, $7 million project to take this building that had been abandoned, essentially, and to revitalize it and enhance it to be a community service, community good, and also to generate revenue for our nonprofit so we can continue to do stuff in our community. So the Hope Center is an incredible place to work. A few other things that they've done: in 2011, they started the first ever medical clinic in the entire zip code. Wow. And it services people who are uninsured or underinsured. And then a couple years later, they opened up Hope Leadership Academy, which is a K through 5 charter school right next door. And so across the board, we want to see healthy communities where the vulnerable can flourish. And so that looks like schools, medical clinics, and community resources like this.
That's so awesome. The building that you're in is beautiful. Can you just briefly tell us? I know you just opened in January.
Yeah.
Can you briefly tell us about that? What's it for? And a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this was a former Catholic church, opened in the early 1900s and had a congregation here into the 70s. And then over time, as the Catholic church left, a few of the people tried to move in. They were just never able to sustain it. And so it was essentially abandoned. The Hope Center purchased it at one time, but truly just the money to rehab it was going to be overwhelming. And so it just kind of sat here. But our CEO, Marvin, kind of had a vision for what would it look like to actually take a building like this, instead of tearing it down and building something else, which would have been cheaper. What would it look like to rally people who are in our network together to say, we're tired of seeing these buildings in our neighborhood torn down. What would it take to actually rehab this space? And so we do a number of community events. We have our programs for our own kids. So we have a lip sync battle here this next week.
Awesome.
That's for the kids and their families. We had Taste of Soul Food, which was a Black History Celebration event in February. And then we do a number of pro bono events here in this space. And obviously we'll do weddings, nonprofit events. I just booked a quince for the first time. And so different things like that, some free and open to our community, as well as private events that allow us to fund the work that we do.
That's so cool. As you're working with the Hope Center and seeing all that you all are doing on the east side of Kansas City, what have you found to make the most significant impact in helping people feel seen and valued?
I think it's just being curious. A friend of mine told me, one of the best compliments was that I'm a gleaner. which I think is just a way to say, I always love learning new things, and people are just these fountains. It's how intricate people's work life is always just so interesting to me. And so I think when you're genuinely curious about people, it leads to genuine appreciation for them and the work that they do. I know you and I were talking, like in this building, I'm responsible for the audio and the videos and the lighting. And I never did that before. And so now when I talk to people in the audio world, I'm just like, no one appreciates you guys enough. There's way too much stuff to do. I talked to a former sound guy I know, and he came in and helped me with stuff. And I was just like, as a drummer, I was like, I'm sorry if I was ever pushy, because I did not realize. And now that I'm sitting behind a soundboard sometimes, I appreciate that work so much more. And so I think just being curious about people's work and their stories and their lives, if you can do that, one, people love talking about themselves naturally, you'll learn something and you'll grow in appreciating the work that they do.
Yeah. Curiosity is so important for life and relationships. It's one of my highest values, just as a person. So I love hearing that from you. You've been at the Gathering just for a few months.
Yeah.
So I'm curious if you have seen anything that at the Gathering or at the Hope Center that just made you think, this is why we do what we do.
Yes. So we just had our annual fundraiser called Heart for Hope. We were at the Midland downtown. It's where we fundraise every single year. And it was cool to talk about what we've done, what we want to do here and the property we own. But we had some of our students come up, and I love it. Like, they were just dressed to the nines, suits and dresses. And it was kids from different ages and had been at the Hope Center for different periods of time. But one thing that really stood out to me is we had a couple of kids there who are about to graduate high school. And they have been in the program since they were in kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
And so to me, to hear their stories and to think, man, for 12, 13, 14 years, these kids have had people in their support system, adults, who have said, we care about you as an individual. We care about your family. And we care about this community that you're a part of and that we're a part of. And we're going to continue to push and to give you resources. And so these kids just ooze confidence because they've been around adults and leaders who are constantly telling them how much they matter. They can do it. We do asset-based curriculum. And so we're constantly talking with kids about their natural strengths and to work on those strengths and to cultivate from an individual perspective. And then to see that on stage was just really moving. And then, sorry, one more thing too. The first time these kids came into the space for the Christmas party, their first time seeing it restored was unbelievable. We have a video on our Instagram of the kids and their families, and just, you know, these ceilings are like 43 feet tall, and just to see them look up and the look on their face was just really, really rewarding.
I bet they were so proud to have something so wonderful and lovely that's a part of their immediate community. You know, that's a place that they get to go celebrate. They've been a part of anyway. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it was just, and I'm excited for the lip sync battle too. I'm sure we'll post that here later, but they went all out before, but this is the only property that we own that isn't utilized for like a school or, you know, anything else.
Okay.
So they can come in here. It's all open and we can just have a blast. So
that's so
neat. Stuff like that makes it worth doing.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about the community giving back to them, you know, these adults throughout their entire lives. And it just reminds me that, like, we get human kindness back, right? When we give it. And why not invest into the life of a young person? Because it really does affect the entire community for decades, you know, and generations to come.
Yeah. We have an alumni program too, where we'll meet, and you can just see that the community that, that they build while they're in our programs, it's not fleeting, but these are kids who come back year after year. We get updates, hear about their lives, send them off to college. And so it's a really rewarding, not just a little after school program. It is a long-term community these kids receive.
Is there any kind of specific story, maybe like a volunteer or a guest, a community partner who showed human kindness in an unexpected way?
I think for me, the thing that surprises and encourages me over and over is to see the unheralded volunteers that mm-hmm. come. We're a small nonprofit. We have 11 or 12 staff. And so we do a lot of work with teenagers and students, but that is not everybody's vibe. And so I love seeing the people who are like, we are so bought into what you do. Let me do something else that you guys need. So we have a lady who drives like 45 minutes every couple of weeks to clean. We work out of an old parsonage, in former parsonage, and she'll come and clean that thing floor to ceiling, all three levels. And that's her way of giving back. Or I think about, we have some nonprofit partners who drive from Kansas to deliver hot meals to our kids every single week. That's Christ Community. Shout out to them. And a myriad of others who just do the unseen work to make a nonprofit like this viable and function and to show our kids that there's people in this community that care about you. But additionally, there's also people who aren't on the East Side who believe and they want to see the East Side revitalized, and they're giving of their time, their talents, and their giftings to help make that a reality. So I love seeing all those volunteers, and we have hundreds of volunteers every year who come and serve at the Hope Center.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
It can't always be easy though, right? You have these beautiful stories and you shared some of those, but nonprofit work is not for the faint of heart. And there are really tough days, I imagine. Mm-hmm. So what keeps you going?
Yeah. There are definitely days where, you know, when I got this job and it was pitched to me, I didn't realize how much manual labor would be involved. I think they undersold that. One day, just like 200 of these chairs, some of you can see this here, showed up unexpected before they were supposed to. And it was just a day of me unboxing 200 chairs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's days where it's just mopping or it's just doing work in the building. And that is not glamorous. But when I remember, and I see this building every single day, it's a reminder that the work that we're doing isn't just theoretical, it's tangible. Mm. Intangible work is labor intensive sometimes, but I remember that. And also I'm reminded, there's a story I heard a long time ago, probably a little pastor story, about these two guys who were stonemasons, and they were cutting these blocks, and someone walked by and they said, "What are you guys doing?" And one guy said, "Oh, we're making these stones into perfect squares." And the other guy said, "We're building a cathedral."
Oh.
And that ability to kind of step back and to say, the work that I'm doing actually isn't just cleaning the floor. It's not just putting chairs and cushions on chairs. It's actually helping to revitalize a community. It's actually being one piece in this work that we're doing that's saying these students matter, these families matter, the East Side of Kansas City matters. And so luckily we have a great team that we can, every single week they tell us these stories of what they're seeing with the students and what they're seeing with different partners. And so that ability to step back and to see this building, it's a little on the nose, but it's just kind of a metaphor for the work that we do, taking something that was unfortunately maybe forgotten and to see that there's a vision for renewal. And so if it can happen here, it can happen in the rest of the community.
I love that story. I'm building a cathedral where I'm cutting stones.
Right.
Having that bigger vision of what you're doing is, it makes a huge difference in how you approach the work that you're doing. You know, most of our listeners are just normal people. They're probably, and by not that nonprofit people are abnormal.
Right. But, yeah.
But what I mean is they're not leading a nonprofit or on staff at a nonprofit. They're just working out in their jobs and doing very ordinary things. But even speak to that a little bit, to those people who are on either side of a nonprofit, working in a nonprofit or not at a nonprofit, but doing very ordinary tasks. Can you kind of breathe some hope into us as we try to like show human kindness where we are?
Yeah. I love when we think about work, I love reframing it a little bit. And there's a quote from Tim Keller, who he was a pastor in New York City, passed away a couple years ago. But I love his definition of work. He says this: work is rearranging the raw material of God's creation in such a way that it helps the world in general and people in particular thrive and flourish. And so the opportunity, wherever you're at, is to say, where do I have a place to help an individual or a community thrive and flourish? That might look like the work that you do with your coworkers. It might look like partnering and finding nonprofits in your community. Sometimes the smallest amount of work, what might seem small to you, has huge ramifications at and for a nonprofit. And to not feel like you have to go do it on your own. One thing that I've learned in this role, there are so many incredible nonprofits in Kansas City or wherever you're at that do very specific and incredible work. And you giving a couple of hours of labor helps them tremendously. And so don't feel like you have to be some superhero who can solve it all or it has to be these grand gestures. Finding people doing incredible work and just offering a little bit of your time, talent, or energy goes a really, really long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. If listeners are in Kansas City and they want to know more about you, more about the Hope Center, more about the gathering, first of all, is there anything that we can jump in and help you with? And then secondly, what if listeners are outside of Kansas City? They can't physically get here. How do they find you online? How do they connect? How do they support you?
Yeah. So online, it's on Instagram, it's our Hope Center KC, and it's thegathering.kc. And if you just look us up, you'll find us on Instagram and Facebook. I'll say following the Hope Center, it's just always, if you need just something to brighten your day, seeing the activities the kids are doing Monday to Friday always brings a smile to my face. So that's one opportunity. And then, if you're in Kansas City, we do these like serve days. Again, we're a small nonprofit. We actually have a lot of land. We just have bought up abandoned properties. We have some housing initiatives coming up. And so there's always a little bit of work to be done. And if you know how to power wash or to sweep, I promise we have a project for you. So online, you can see about our serve days. You can reach out to us and we'll find a way to plug you in for sure.
That's awesome. Thank you for being here, Chris. You've given me a lot of just good food for thought as far as thinking about the work that I'm doing, whether that's volunteering at a nonprofit, whether that's just in my neighborhood or it's my vocation, that the ordinary work that we do has really big ramifications and that the ordinary work that we're doing can be very sacred. It's set apart and can really make a difference in people's lives. So I'm going to remember that story, the stonemaker cutting stones or building a cathedral.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it also speaks to just the power of community. I think sometimes we don't see our ordinary work as meaningful because we can't build a cathedral by ourselves.
Yes.
But we can do our one piece. And so if we don't try to rush in like Superman to be the one person hero, that's an exhausting way to think about making a difference in our world. But if we see ourselves as a part of a larger plan, building something together, then our ordinary work becomes more meaningful.
That is so good. So good. That is the nugget to take with you, everybody who's listening. Take that as you go today to your work, to your school, to your neighborhood, wherever you are, making a difference. Thank you for being here, Chris. We are excited to follow along the journey. If you're not following them on Instagram, I highly recommend that too, because you're right. It's like a shot in the arm of joy and hope.
Absolutely.
Just watching that feed. So cool. Thanks so much for being here, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd love to hear your story, whether it's an act of kindness you've received or one you've been a part of giving. Just visit humankindnessatwork.com and click on Share a Story. You never know, your story could inspire others to be a part of human kindness at work in their world. See you next time.